Namaskar, hello and welcome to Be the Change series. Over the past 2 months, friends, we've been talking to each other using these new resources that I have. These resources have been something that we have all been using, whether it is social media or different platforms that we are on. But I think this is for the first time the Brahma Kumaris have used our social media platform to interact with the audience straight away, right in the comforts of their home. And this was a unique opportunity since most of us could not travel out of their homes, could not go out to seek help professionally or otherwise, could not see friends and family. So, and the times have been challenging, of course, and testing times. And these times, if you feel that you had been forced to change yourself a little bit, some of us have not coped up with that change really well. And some of us were brave enough to ask for help from people around, and that help has come in as well. And since that help has come in, and I believe most of you would like to ask questions regarding what are the challenges you're facing and what help that you might need. And the Brahma Kumaris have been here over the past 80 episodes or so to be a source of guidance for you, be there for emotional support, or if you need any kind of guidance or spiritual wisdom, we were here to offer you. And every day, a new master of meditation would join us and would answer our questions and listen to what we had to say. And today we also have a master of meditation. Today being Sunday, we have Be the Change series in English, and we'll take questions in English, and the answers will also be given in English. Today we have Brahma Kumari Sister Maureen Goodman joining us all the way from London. And she has been with the Brahma Kumaris for several decades now. And she has been instrumental in designing programs at the Global Corporation House, London, which is the international coordinating office for the Brahma Kumaris services abroad. And she is also the Brahma Kumaris representative to the United Nations at Vienna. Thank you very much, Sister Maureen, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And everybody who's there.
Thank you. Friends, we'll begin the program. And if you feel like you want to ask a question, you can always punch that questions into the comment section, either on Facebook or on YouTube or any of the social media platforms that you're watching this video on. And your questions from the live feed will be taken into the program, and we'll ask the questions to Sister Maureen, who is our spiritual guide today. And if you feel like you don't have a question, but if you just want to share how you're feeling today, you can also do that. Please do write that in as well. And you can give us a shout out, and all of that will be taken and shown up on the screen during the program. Sister Maureen, the first question comes from Sapna. And Sapna says that she is preparing for the civil services examination in India, but sometimes family members do not support me, and I also feel demotivated, and it affects me. I want to ask how to feel motivated in a negative environment. Since these competitive exams for the civil services in the country are really very competitive, and the success rate is very low, and I understand why their family members are not very keen on supporting her, but nonetheless she feels demotivated when she wants to try for something. So she wants to understand how should she feel motivated when there is a negative environment, negative vibe around.
Thank you. Thanks for the question. Hello, Sapna. Yes, I can imagine the situation where you know you want to do something and it actually feels right for you. You know that this is what you want to do. And then there are other voices, and when people say things, sometimes we allow the things that other people say to create a little bit of doubt inside. So we begin to connect more with what the other people are saying or family members are saying, rather than connecting with ourselves and that feeling that we have inside. And I'm a great believer in going with our inner feelings. And I've seen that work in my life very much. When I've known something to be right, it's like I have to do it. And even though people say, well, you know, this might be crazy or whatever they say, something in me has said, I have to carry on with this. I have to do it. And actually, there's a kind of determination which tells me that it's going to be successful. Otherwise, I would not be driven from the inside in that direction. And so when other people are saying things, very important to stay self-aware, stay in your own dignity, and to really stay true to yourself. Because that's the only way in which you're going to feel comfortable inside. And, you know, Sapna, think of the scenario. If you listened to those voices around you and you said, okay, I'll give this up, you would be thinking about that for a very long time, even for the rest of your life. So you don't want that scenario. So it's just a little test, where you have to stay strong, be strong in yourself and say, you know, spend a quiet moment with yourself. Listen to yourself, your inner feelings, listen to your conscience, and then say, okay, you ask yourself the question, what am I going to follow? What my inner feelings are telling me or what everybody else is telling me? And everybody else has their own different agendas. You're aware of that. Yes, they want the best for you, but there are other agendas. So let me just really stay true to myself. So I really wish you all success, and I know that if you stay true to yourself and you have that confidence that this is the right thing, that with a free mind, you'll be able to have the clarity to study well and have success. So good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And one of our friends had asked this question yesterday. Tutu is her name. And Tutu asked this question, was about, I don't feel like to do the day-to-day chores of household work. And she says that my mind is often peaceless and what to do is the question. I believe the question comes up also because most of the people are doing double things, like they are doing work from home as well. And there are no maids coming for doing housework. Even if you wouldn't pay them, there is nobody coming. So you would have to work. You would have to take care of your household chores yourself. And then it is quite common when you have not done that or when you feel that that's inside you don't want to do.
You don't want to do it. I mean, I think we also at some point don't feel like doing the housework. Hello to Tutu, I'm sure you're online and listening. And often, you know, other things are a little bit more interesting. And so the housework takes a back seat. But of course what happens is that then things build up. And when things build up, then they seem even more difficult. So you may start the day with two dishes in the sink and say, well, I'll leave it for later. But by the time you get to the end of the day, there's 6 or 10 dishes in the sink plus a few pots. And you say, oh, you know. And it's interesting. Many of you know of, and many of you may have met Daddy Janki. She just passed on in March this year, and she was the main head of the Brahma Kumaris. Well, she got her new job at age 91. Imagine that. I mean, she's incredible. She was an incredible individual, and I'm so lucky to have been mentored by her for 40 years or more. But I remember once she was just said to me, and you know, on the one hand, so much spiritual wisdom, which takes your consciousness, elevates your consciousness, but at the same time, very practical wisdom. And I remember her saying to me once, when you're cooking, wash up as you go along. Very simple statement, but actually saves you a lot of stress. And so it's just that little bit of focus, knowing that if I do that little bit of housework now, it's going to save me a lot in the future, because when in the future, or even just at the end of the day. And we all like to be in a clean environment, in a nice environment. It actually helps us think more clearly. And there's a lot of things out now about clearing the clutter, and how when you clear the clutter externally, you clear the clutter from within your mind. And, you know, I've seen for myself how it works when I do have that opportunity to clear out some things. Oh, you know, you feel a little bit lighter. And I know we don't need to depend on those things, but at the same time, our environment actually does reflect what's going on inside of us. So as I'm changing my inner environment, I'm feeling more motivated to do what I need to do, so my external environment changes. But sometimes it's the other way around. You force yourself. I had a situation when we started lockdown here in the UK. It was like a bit chaotic at first. The centre has to be closed. We have a big centre here, two big houses. Of course, in India, things are much bigger, but we have a, you know, a hall for 500, another hall for 200, many other rooms. Just give you an idea of the scale. And it was a little bit chaotic and just trying to make things work. And we were here, a group of 13 of us. And then after 3 days, we got the news about Daddy Janki passing on. It was like, what is going on? You know, how do you deal with it? A couple of weeks later, I suddenly had 900 unread emails. Now, it's not housework, but it's even more stressful. I just looked at this, what to do? And one day, and I really had to force myself, and I came in the dining room and I announced, I've gone from 900 to 150. Sometimes you've just got to set yourself to the task and do it. And you'll feel so much better. And then to get into the habit of doing things as you go along so that you keep on top of things. So even if you spend those extra 5 minutes or 10 minutes to keep on top of something like the housework, it really does save a lot of pressure on your mind. So I would really, really recommend that. So, Juju, I hope that, I don't know if I missed another bit of your question, but the question is going now.
She said that she felt very peaceless at the moment.
That's right. That's part of it. And of course, when the mind isn't restful, it's hard for the mind to focus on what it is I need to do at this moment. And we're very rarely in the present. I think this is a very big thing for every one of us. If you look at what your mind is doing, either it's somewhere in the past, somewhere in the future, and that in itself causes a lack of clarity, causes confusion, causes stress. And so I've just practiced for myself taking those pauses, being present, and understanding what is in front of me now that's important to do, and to do that. But I need to take that pause, give that little bit of space inside. Then things become clear to me. Otherwise, I'm rushing from one thing to the other, and then the peacelessness increases. So I hope you'll take those pauses and then set your mind to clearing up and then just keeping on top of things, and your mind will become much more rested. I'm really sure of that.
Thank you so much. I believe that is something that we often forget about, taking breaks, a little bit of break every hour or maybe once, 2 hours. That really helps a great deal. And this pause is what really energizes. We have the next question that comes in from Facebook, and Lakshya is asking this question. His name is Lakshya. And he says that I am 15 years of age, and he's also done the Raja Yoga course of the Brahma Kumaris. And he says that my concentration in meditation is not good, and love for the divine energy is also not coming in. So please help me. I believe sometimes, you know, as young people, we start experimenting with things and we want to see the results happening with us. And he says that there is, he does not see the concentration coming in when he does meditation. And also, it becomes difficult when you want to feel the love for divine energy, that connect or that kind of experience that doesn't happen in meditation. So one is concerned. So Lakshya.
Lakshya. Hello, Lakshya. Very nice to meet you and to hear from you. When we start meditation, it is like Srinidhi said, that, we want to see results. And I think particularly I know I had to learn as I got older, and I'm quite old now, but I had to learn a lot of patience. And at the beginning, I wasn't so patient with myself. That did come a little bit later, but patience, you know, there's a saying in English, patience is a virtue. Well, of course it is. Patience is a great help, a huge help. And sometimes, now I'm not sure if this applies to you, maybe it does, but sometimes we try too hard at first, and we need to be easy with ourselves. And sometimes I've seen when we do things with that easiness and we say, okay, I know this is going to be fine, I'm just going to carry on and not look for those results immediately, but have faith that what I'm doing is the right thing and it's going to be productive, but not look for immediate results. And sometimes going a little bit slower helps us to go faster. Because it's all about how we use the energy of the mind. And the mind is our energy. And just think about it. If my mind is going too quickly, then what happens to my breathing, right? And what happens to my energy? I have less energy. And when my mind is calm, and I'm actually thinking one thing at a time instead of 10 things at a time. And I know it happens to me in meditation. I'll be sitting in meditation and then, oh, I have to do this. Oh, I have to do that. And then I have to say to myself, no, I tell my mind, you can go back to that later. Now is the time for meditation. So I gently talk to myself. I don't say to myself, oh, terrible, I shouldn't be doing this, I shouldn't be thinking that. So I'm not hard on myself. And I had to learn that. But I'm gentle with myself, gently reminding my mind. And then I get that little bit of patience. And then things come more naturally. So really, my advice would be just really take things step by step and know. And I'm sure you're studying at one of our centers or you're linking in with one of the centers. And so we do need that daily dose every day. I find that till now, every day some meditation and spiritual study. And then that keeps our mind and our, well, the whole soul refreshed. Keeps us refreshed so that then I'm not slipping back into my old habits. My old habits are not just the things we do, but the habits of thinking and the habits of attitudes towards ourselves and the habits of attitudes towards others. And all of these things have an impact on my mind. And so I need to, you know, just step back and just remember the basics of meditation. I'm a soul. I'm a being of peace. And let it sit with you. And when you feel that peace, you very naturally will begin to feel God's love. I found this, that when I really try to strive to get to God, it's like it keeps running away from me. But when I sit and I'm so aware of myself and my state of peace, it's like naturally it comes to me. And that's very, very beautiful. So really just take time, just be patient with yourself. And okay, even if you feel, oh, I can't do that, no, okay, 1 week, let me try it. And then I can go back to being impatient after a week. But I guarantee the patience will be better. And so you'll want to stick with it. So you have to keep reminding yourself. You know, we talk to ourselves. If people just talk to themselves going down the street, well, either they're on their mobile phone or there's something wrong. But spiritually, internally, we talk to ourselves, talk to our mind and give it good thoughts, good feedback. You're doing well. It's okay. Just a little bit more. So in this gentle way, talk to yourself and love yourself. I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. And since you were speaking about patients, there's one of our friends who have joined in, Manisha Taparia, and Manisha asks this question about how to increase patience and willpower. Sometimes you face a situation in which you cannot take control on yourself. What to do to remain? Should we just leave it in God's will, or should we take control? Should there is something that we should be doing, or just leave it in God? So Manisha is watching the show on YouTube. She asked this question.
Manisha, hi. I really like your question because I know I was very much brought up with the belief that everything is God's will. But when I began to study Raja Yoga, I began to realize that it's so important for me to take responsibility. And only by me taking responsibility for myself can I begin to fulfill God's will, which may seem a bit of a paradox almost. But taking responsibility for myself does mean that I'm beginning to want to transform myself in the direction that will take me more towards God's will. It doesn't just happen on its own. And of course, God's will is so beautiful for each one of us. It's almost like if we can tune into it, we have something beautiful bestowed on us from God. But we need to take the responsibility to calm our mind, to transform ourselves, to move away from negativity so that we can experience that beautiful destiny that God has in store for us. And I know as I've continued to meditate, and I've continued to clear away, in a way, the rubbish we all have, right? The negativity, the fears, the past memories that are not pleasant. And as I continue to clear those away, it becomes clearer and clearer to me what God wants for me. And then, because that clarity is there, it's like I can connect with God more easily and I can draw on God's power. Now, we have this term sakaj. It means God's light and might, that really gives the soul, the inner being, everything that the soul needs. Of course, we need to look after ourselves physically, externally, but internally, it's just as important to look after myself and then to be able to draw on the Supreme, on God, to be able to fill myself with that inner strength. Because, you know, we can't transform ourselves on our own. We do need God's help. We really do. And so, Manisha, I hope you'll, you know, be able to put some of that into practice and really get to know yourself and get to know God better. And yes, you'll see beautiful things unfolding in front of you. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sister Maureen. I think Manisha would appreciate it, and she would also practice filling herself inside with the power from God. That would, of course, help us increase our patience and willpower. Next question, a friend named Aman. Aman asks this question. He says, how to grow spiritually and in every situation? We should not hold any grudge against fate and situations. Rather, we should embrace as it is part of our growth. He says that we have this understanding that we should not hold any grudge against fate or situation or people, but rather we should embrace it as a part of our growth. But then how do we actually do it? How do we actually grow spiritually? And how do we look at these situations like this?
Mm. Yes, a beautiful question, Aman. All the questions are fantastic. And we look in the world today and we see people are full of grudges against family members, between countries. You know, it's just everywhere. And what is it doing to the world? It's really pulling the world down. It's really causing people to do things that create even more harm. And yes, situations happen around me. And sometimes I feel as if I'm helpless. You know, this is the situation that has come to me. What can I do? I have to begin to say to myself, okay, whatever happens, there is a lesson in this for me. There's a gift in this for me. There's something to learn. And when I'm in the midst of a situation which I really don't like, this is the question I ask myself. What do I have to learn from this situation? What do I have to learn from this person? And then once I identify what I have to learn, then it's like my mind is free. And in fact, I feel a little excited to put that into practice. You know, I'm just thinking of a situation where, you know, somebody phoned me up and they left me. That's right, I'd been in a meeting and I had to say something in the meeting that I knew would be unpopular with one or two people, particularly one person. When I got back to my office, there was a phone message for me, and it was from that person. And yes, right enough, it was, you shouldn't have said that, da da da, a whole string of things. What it was now, I can't remember. And I thought, okay. And again, I asked myself that question, what is there to learn? And I thought, I want to put into practice this principle. And it's again something Daddy Janki taught me, and this, well, not just me, many of us, that if you don't keep your mind with something, then the other person forgets it as well. And I thought, this is very interesting. So I said, okay, I'm not going to let my mind continue. So I to think about it. I should have said this, I shouldn't have said it, how could I have put it different? Well, I'd done what I did. So I phoned the person quite quickly because I, again, don't like to let things build up. So I phoned her and I said, oh, I got your message. And she said, yes. And then she started again repeating it, da, 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 da. So I just said, thank you very much. We put the phone down. And I said to myself, I'm not going to let my mind go back to this situation. I'm not going to remember it. And I put my mind on, well, God's remembrance, being more aware of myself, and then getting on with other things. But I wanted to create good feelings in myself so that I didn't start to harbor bad feelings towards her or towards the situation.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because next day, she came in the office, it was like nothing had happened. No disturbance in the relationship. And I knew that if I kept thinking about it, she would have also kept thinking about it. Our vibrations carry. It's quite incredible. And so, yes, in any situation, there's always something I can do. I may not be able to, don't think, oh, what I can do is to tell that person or change that person. In fact, we were hearing our teachings this morning. Every morning we read some of the teachings. And it was actually this very thing, that if you point something out to somebody that they're doing something wrong, they will never change. Literally that. and so first tell them that they're very good and everything is fine and they're right. And then at the right moment, you can say something which will give them that signal. And so it's very important not to think I can change the person because they have to change themselves. But I can change the way in which I respond. And so I always have the means to do that, no matter how difficult the situation may be. And, you know, there are so many stories of wartime, lots of different stories, concentration camps where one person completely suffered, well, everybody suffered, but some people able to keep a presence of mind and go through it, even though it was the most despicable, awful situation. And there's one person, he's now passed on, Dr. Robert Mueller, who was an assistant secretary general of the UN, and he actually came to Mount Abu in 1983. And he had been a prisoner of war in France. And he wrote a book afterwards saying, and the title of the book was, "Most of all, they taught me happiness." Imagine that. I don't know if I'd have the strength to be happy in those situations. I can't say. But I take inspiration. There's always something I can do, no matter how difficult the situation is. And so look inside. What is there to learn? What's the gift here for me? What's the benefit for me? And then you'll be able to move ahead. And with that attitude, even a situation that you think it was impossible to change will change. We have the solutions inside, but we have to take time to find them and apply them.
Very beautifully said. I believe we have those solutions. It's just that we have to look within, go and find it. It was a very powerful thing what you really said, was sometimes we really have to just look, and that is what is important, because on the surface we see there is so much happening. I'll move on to the next question. Friends, we have run down to half an hour, so we have another half an hour for you where you can ask in questions. I know there are already 10 more questions waiting, but you can still continue.
Is that a signal to me to be more brief?
I'm pretty sure my friends are watching the show and they enjoying the conversation, and they like what you're saying, because there's so many things they're sharing as feedback as well. But I think all of them would like their questions to be taken up. So let's try to keep the ball rolling. Our next friend is Archana, and Archana is watching the program on YouTube, and she says, I have a friend with whom I had a very good tuning, but because of something, I hurt that soul. And due to that, there is a lot of gap now. Earlier, we were almost talking daily, and now I want things to get back to normal." This is what Archana has to say.
Archana, hi, hello. Yeah, we all want our good friends around us, and yeah, I too. I really don't like it if there's a disturbance in a relationship. I have to put it right. But I think one thing there, step back from taking total responsibility of the hurt. Now, that's an interesting statement, I know. But sometimes what happens in relationships, you say something or do something, and you may have done it in very good faith, but it's triggered something in them. That something of the past, something, the hurt is not necessarily all to do with you. And so step back from that feeling of guilt, because that guilt and that negative feeling is just perpetuating everything. And you'll be thinking, how can I go? What can I say? What can I do? So realize that everybody has their own journey, and everybody has their own choice as to how they respond. And so now you take that into your hands and say, okay, I'm now going to do something positive to put the situation right, but without the feeling of guilt. Now, not easy, but it will work. And I've been thinking a lot, actually, the last few months about what are the things we have to let go of inside. And I'm very good at feeling guilty, a master at it. And I know that I have to let go of that. And the more I let go of that, the more I'm able to do the positive thing that makes the change. It's amazing. And I must just tell you something, okay, just to finish on this. I once asked Daddy Janki, "Daddy, I feel guilty about so many things. Is it that I just have a habit of feeling guilty?" You know what she said to me? She said, "Well, if you never did anything wrong, you wouldn't feel guilty." So I laughed. But my wrong was in being guilty. So, okay, let go of that and say, now I'm coming into a positive frame with that relationship. So you change the energy. And then you'll find you'll be able to repair the relationship.
Thank you so much. Our next question comes in from Sunil, and Sunil asks this question. He says, how do we create love for other people, other souls? Today, even our own children feel that they are not being loved enough. How do I fill myself with love? Interesting question. Sunil has joined us on YouTube.
Hi, Sunil. Hello. Well, you know what? You've answered the question by your last sentence. Because if I want to share love with others and help others to feel loved, help others to understand their own loving nature, then I have to love myself. And if you ask people, you know, I've done this in workshops, you ask people, tell me your, you know, your shortcomings, they'll be able to list lots. And you say to them, tell me your good qualities. Silence. We don't think enough about ourselves, our good qualities. We don't appreciate ourselves enough. We don't love ourselves enough. We don't respect ourselves enough. And on a spiritual journey, self-respect is so, so important. And so, again, I think meditation is very helpful. In meditation, I learned very quickly that the nature of the soul, yes, is peace, but also love. I am, in essence, a loving being. Now, if I wasn't a loving being, I wouldn't be looking for love. So it proves I am a loving being. So I need to take that little bit of time to release that love that's within, to touch it and release it, and to take love from God. And it's the kind of love that isn't dependent on external factors. You know, too often in relationships, well, I'll love you if you love me. And you do something that the other person doesn't like, and it's as if the love evaporates. This is love that is unconditional and is constant and is with you, because it's the very nature of your being. So this is the key. Emerging or releasing that very loving nature of, that I am, and then connecting with God to fill the self with that unlimited love from God. And then the rest will follow. So don't think about all the things that are going wrong. Again, same thing. Think about what you can do. And this is what you can do.
Thank you so much. And I believe Sunil's question also resonates with me, is because when you see children today, sometimes we often hear it out loud where children say to their parents that you don't love me enough. And when you listen to that statement from young kids, like 5, 6 years old, and you're suddenly surprised, like, what?
Yeah. Well, you wonder what is happening? What is happening? And I think one of the things, so thanks for the prompt, in today's world is that it's like, now I'm generalizing, of course I'm generalizing here, but it's not just about showing love through giving material things. I think that's really important. Young kids, again, as I say, generalizing, have come to equate love with those things. And that's really a pity, you know, that if your parents love you enough, they'll buy you this, that, and the other. And so that is a struggle. That is not easy, because that's the way the culture is today. That more materialistic culture. And so it's not easy for parents. I absolutely understand. Bringing up children with that culture that your relationships are more important than anything material. Your family is more important than, you know, and your relationships in the family are more important than where you live or the car you have or anything like that. And so it's really, as parents, it's important to adjust my own thinking so that I really have my priorities straight. And then that will naturally be transmitted to the children. So it's always, you know, what do they say? Children learn by witness. They don't learn by what you say or tell them to do. And so, yes, being a parent today, I have to really be an example. Not easy.
I'll take up the next question that comes in from Anshul Rohira. Anshul asks this question. She says that I feel negative vibes from people around me, and that makes me feel very low. And how to fight with this for the self? How should I deal with it? Because I know there are negative people around me and their negative vibes affect me. I also know that it affects me and that in turn makes me feel low. But how do I deal with it? How do I counter this? Anshul.
Hello, Anshul. Yes. The world is full of negative vibrations everywhere. And we all feel it. But then I have to say, okay, who's the master? Am I going to be controlled by other people's vibrations? Is that what I want? Then I will never have a life of my own. And, you know, sometimes people ask me, well, it's the same question, how do I protect myself? And I say, no, if you think of protecting yourself, that is indicating that there's a little bit of fear. So there's, and that fear, and today there's a lot of fear around, that fear then attracts negativity. And it's very difficult. The vibrations come to you even more. So I have to go inside, understand myself very well, understand myself so that I can begin to, as we were saying earlier, release those positive qualities that are my original nature. So much depends on this. Peace, love, wisdom, joy, purity. These are all the actual part of, this is what constitutes the constant changing eternal self that I am. And once I begin to touch that, then I am generating very positive, powerful vibrations. Now, when I have that force field around me, how is anything negative going to impact me? So you have to become a generator. So again, I'd recommend to all of you to practice meditation. And the first step of meditation is getting to know yourself, soul, consciousness. Yes. And then that's the key to those vibrations becoming so strong that others, just the negative vibrations, can't have an impact. And I know that from myself because I've had to work through that. And it really works.
Thank you so much. The next question is a little long one, and please bear with me. Ashish asks this question, and Ashish has joined us on Facebook, and he has this question which says, my friend, I have a question which I discuss with my friends, and I'm looking for the perspective. And his question is, a friend of mine is working in the corporate world for 14 years and is very meritorious. However, this contribution and support is getting ignored by his manager. So what does he do? Complain and have a conversation to the management team, or quit the job and start looking for a new job? He has tried his best to improve his relations with the manager. However, he suspects that his manager is intentionally ignoring him. So it's a long question because it has also been a long relationship with the company that he's been working. So right. Whether he should have a conversation with the management.
Well, it sounds like he's already had a conversation with the management or the manager. I don't know, hard to tell. But the important thing here is our inner feelings, right? And it's a kind of almost generic question too. That something's not going right. Do I just walk away or do I persevere? And the answer is not that I can just say to you, do this or do that. You have to decide that, actually, what is the most useful for you and for your career going forward. But the important thing is always to try and fix our inner feelings, isn't it? Because if I'm feeling disappointed or upset because my manager's not giving me that respect, then, you know, I'm going to carry that trait in a sense with me wherever I go. So yes, I'll get into a new job, but will I be looking for that recognition? You know, I don't want to get disappointed again. So in a way, there are the two possibilities, I suppose, or maybe many more. But first, by fixing my feelings inside, coming back to my own dignity and self-respect. I'm doing a good job, and it's very good, and it's, you know, helping the company, and that's it. Do I need the manager to say wonderful, wonderful? Maybe not. But then maybe the manager is undermining me, making my life difficult, whatever. So then I have to take a conscious decision. If I've done my best, then I have to take a call. Is it time for me to move on, or do I stay? But if our feelings are cleaned out inside, so I'm not bearing any grudges, it came up earlier, I'm not thinking, you know, very critical of the person, the manager, then if my feelings are quite clean inside, then it becomes very obvious what to do. Or another opening just opens up in a very natural way. But I can block all those things if I become negative in the situation. So I think this is the important thing. And then it'll become clear to you. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe Ashish would have an answer to that, because one has to relook about what they have gone through and probably understand, develop a better understanding of their own situations, because they are the judge. But of course, these things will help you to come to a good judgment. There are two questions that are very similar to each other. There is a little bit of similarity. Nitin is watching the show on Facebook, and he asks this question, that in my house, we have a problem that my mother has her own thoughts, thinking so much about the past. Instead, they do not want to accept the current situation. So he says that her mother has this thought pattern of thinking only about the past and not being in the present and not accepting the situations that are at the current moment. And a similar question also comes in from Asha. Asha is watching the program on YouTube, and she says that I never bother about others' negative words, but how do I reduce the self-negative thoughts, the thoughts that I create myself? How do I deal with that? How would I reduce that? So Nitin and Asha.
Right. Well, it's, the things are related. You know, living in the past creates, it takes you away from what you need to do now and of being effective now and of giving now of yourself. Because, you know, in every situation, it's important not to think of what can I take, but what can I give. And if I'm going to give, then I need to have something to give. And so that means I have to fill myself inside with those treasures we were talking about, peace and the love and the joy, so that in my presence, others begin to feel a little bit different. So in case of your mum, you know, again, don't try to spend your life trying to make her different, but become different yourself so that the atmosphere in the house changes. Atmosphere is a very big thing. And you know, when you walk into a building or a home, you can tell the atmosphere sometimes within seconds, whether it's a happy, loving home or a not so happy home. And it's not about what people are saying, it's the feelings. And so really focus on that, creating a very good atmosphere in the house. And that's something you can do. Not thinking about changing your mother, but what can I do? What was his name? That was Asha. Yes.
Asha.
So hi, Asha. So again, if I'm thinking about, I can say I never bother about the negative words of others, but is that precipitating, or is that causing some of the negative self-thoughts that I have? You know, sometimes when we need to say that, it means there's some effect on us, right? And so we have to step back and again get to know ourselves, that our inner self is so truly beautiful. And when you begin to know that inner self and inner beauty, well, it's very natural that your thoughts are more positive. Your thoughts are more loving. Your thoughts are more enabling of others. You move away from criticism. Here we have a big, well, as I say, compared to India, it's small, but it's a community of about 300, I would say, of our BK brothers and sisters connected with this, with Global Cooperation House where I am. And, you know, all different personalities, all different types. And I know for myself, I just have to accept and adjust. Where I was trying to put things right, and I used to be a great fixer, and that's not a good place to be in, because you just drain your whole energy trying to fix everybody's problems and fight everybody's battles.
Mm.
And it doesn't get anywhere. So then I've learned more and more, one, about creating a good atmosphere. And to do that, I've just got to accept people as they are. They're not going to be perfect, and they're not going to do things as I would do them. Now, I think that's right in the perfect way. It may not be. To someone else, somebody else is the best way. And so I need to accept that. Otherwise, it's very difficult to interact and live with others. Something in our teachings, you know, it's like this is a big drama of life. And each one has their own part to play.
Mm.
I have to let them play their part. And if I try and interfere with their part, I can't play my own part in the best possible way. So it's a very beautiful thought. I love this thought. What is my part right now as an actor in this drama? Yes, then I know what to do. You know, I find asking myself simple questions are really, really helpful.
I think that's a very good way of saving ourselves from the negative thoughts that we create, because by reminding ourselves that we have our parts to play and everybody else has a part to play. One of the feedbacks that has come in on the screen is Pooja says that, thanks a lot, Didi. I got my reply automatically in your conversation. She did not even have to put in a question. Thank you so much, Pooja. The next question comes from Pratiksha. And Pratiksha is watching the show on YouTube, and she says, how to overcome the fear of future uncertainty? Because we're living in times which are uncertain, because nobody knows and nobody has clear answers about anything. So it is sure that we are living in the times of uncertainty, but how do we overcome the fear of this future which is uncertain?
It's an absolutely relevant question. Nobody can see the future, you know. You try to plan a month or two ahead, who knows what's going to be happening. And, you know, the only way in which I can really overcome that fear is, again, as we were saying, being in the present moment. The past is gone. The future hasn't come yet. But the, you know, we think about karma philosophy, we think about, you know, just cause and effect. If I make this present moment a good moment, then I have much more chance of the next moment being a good moment, right? And so I have to go step by step. And sometimes you feel like you have to really hold yourself. No, I'm not going to get into those fearful thoughts, but I'm going to do what I can do. I can't fix the future now. It's in the future. But I can fix now, and by doing my best now, the future will take care of itself in the best way. So really being present and enjoying this moment. You know, I may be at home with my family, and then I'm thinking, what's going to happen in the future? Enjoy this moment right now. And then the next moment and the next moment. And, you know, when I do that, I found myself, it's like, you know what to do. There's clarity. This I really think is so important, because opportunities will come to you. Whether it's, you can say, okay, it's just part of the drama of life. You can say that it's because of my faith in God that, you know, God is helping me at this point, putting these opportunities in front of me. But I need to be present to take the opportunities. That's the point. So be present. That's the most important thing at this point, I feel.
Thank you so much, Sister Maureen. I believe it beautifully sums up about what we've been speaking for the whole day. I'm pretty sure there's still a few questions that we cannot take up at the moment. We are at 55 minutes now, but I would still take a last question because it is very similar to what you have already answered. Juliet Nelson asks this question. She's watching the show on YouTube and she says, how to stay away from negative people if we have to interact with them often? Sometimes it is okay that we know that this is a negative person, so let me stay away from it and protect myself. But what should we do when we know that we have to interact with them often and often? So on and off, if you see that person where you have to work with them, what do we really do? We cannot really stay away from them, if possible.
Well, in our mind, we can stay away by not thinking of them as a negative person. And, you know, to realize that when somebody is negative, it's because they have some pain inside. There's something going on for them. So I actually need a lot of understanding. So let those negative people be the gift, the instrument to bring out my love and compassion. And, okay, I may be cautious, but at least I can not see them with that attitude. And if I change the thinking and I think, this is a good person, this is a person who, you know, can do much better than this, and I'm just going to keep having that vision. And I think that this person, you know, is a very loving person, is a good person. They don't know it themselves, but I can see it in them. You know, you generate really good thoughts for them, and they'll start to change. It's quite incredible. So, time to shift our vision. Yeah.
Very beautifully said. I think even though we cannot stay physically away from them, we can stay physically away from here, from our minds, where we do not think about them so much. And if we have to think, we think positive about them. It's such a powerful thing to really look at things in a different way, that we shift our awareness of not looking at a person as a negative person, but changing things about them in our minds, and that's that itself would create.
Yeah, because I discovered a while ago that if I keep thinking about someone a lot, it's because I want to control them. Otherwise, why would I think about them? Because they should be like this, they shouldn't do that. You can't control anybody. Give up, because you're just going to waste your energy. And so, yes, to have that positive vision, it's like, it's magic, really magic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Lovely.
Lovely. And I believe many of our friends have been sharing wonderful feedback whilst we've been talking, and that feedback was being shared on the screen and still there up on the screen for many people to read. And all of our friends have thanked you. And I would thank all of my friends for putting in those questions, which some of them are very personal, some of them have been, they have been really thinking about these things, and that is why they have put these thoughts on to us. And like I say, it requires a great deal of courage to come out, to ask for help, and to admit that this is something that we're not able to do. And indeed, we believe that in over the past hour or so, you've had a good time, and you have taken good learnings for you, and your questions have been answered, is what I'm hopeful for. And I thank Sister Maureen for joining us today, and she has been very precise, crisp and brief, and also has been very practical in terms of what solutions could work for you. And I believe, since spirituality is all about experimenting, if you could use the learnings of today and apply and see how it works, and then probably you would reap benefits out of it. But from all of our friends who have asked questions today, I would like to thank Sister Maureen. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. I just noticed one of the comments, you know your worth, but not everyone may appreciate it. Doesn't matter. You know your worth. You have your dignity of that. But yes, I want to say thank you to everyone, and thank you for being so open. And you know, when you're open and you're exploring and you're willing to ask questions, that's the first step of transformation. So things will change for all of you. And so very lovely, and all good wishes for the future. Everything will be good. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sister Maureen. I would now like to request you, because every day when we have a new master of meditation who has mastered meditation for, you have mastered meditation for several decades, and you are an amazing yogi. You've had an opportunity of spending time in living with amazing yogis, and it would be a fortune for many of our friends to meditate with you for the next 4 or 5 minutes. So I request you to lead us on to meditation.
Definitely. So wherever you are, please sit comfortably with your feet on the floor. And I'll just take a sip of water. Thank you. And I'll share a few thoughts as I meditate. And so just let your mind go with those thoughts. You can either keep your eyes open and look ahead, just focus ahead, or you can close your eyes, whatever is comfortable for you. Let me take a few moments to be with myself. Let me step away from all the many situations and relationships and all the many roles that I play in life for the next little while. Let me be free from all that, so that I can really be myself. I ask myself the question, who am I? I go inside to my inner being . Who am I? I am a spiritual being, a being of light. And the focus for that light is in the center of my forehead. In my mind's eye, I visualize that point of light that is the self. All other awareness fades away, and I become the light. And in this awareness, I discover my original nature of peace, my original nature of love. In the state of peace, with a thought. I connect to the source of peace, the unlimited, to God, the unlimited source of peace. The unlimited source of love. I take that divine love and peace into my being. So that I'm healed of all negativity. And I can share the vibrations of peace and love with all those around me and with the world. Gradually I return to the awareness of my body and the room. Bringing all those vibrations with me into my life. Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti.